You will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.
So when they met together, they asked him,
Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?
It's not for you to know the times or the dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes. And a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking so intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them.
Men of Galilee, why do you stand there looking into the sky? This same Jesus who's been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven.
And we pray so that these words won't just be mine that you hear, but something of the Spirit of Jesus speaking to each one of us now. Let's pray. Crucified, risen and ascended Lord Jesus Christ, we open our hearts to you now and pray that no matter how old we are or how young we are or how we're feeling, you would freshly enter our hearts and our lives. For we ask it now in your strong and powerful name. Amen. There's a verse in the Bible which is particularly important when we think about Ascension Tide, which we're thinking about today. Namely, that Jesus is there one moment, and the next moment he's gone from their sight. And the verse is this: always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that's within you. And so the Christian faith is reasonable. And if someone says to me, well, how did that happen? One moment he's there, next moment he's gone. It just doesn't seem reasonable. How on earth do you kind of get your head around that? And I think Christians, as the Bible says, need to make it clear, always be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is within you. And so Jesus is there one moment, but he's gone the next. And the reason that's happened is he's gone, in fact, so that he can be there. He went from the sight of those first disciples just before Pentecost. He left them. They couldn't see him any longer. But he's gone to be in heaven with his Father for the express reason that by faith, as he lives in our hearts, he can be with us now. And I fully understand why some people say they just can't get it. And one of the things that happens when people say, I just can't get it, they try to live with it. And that's perfectly reasonable and acceptable. I just happen to think that it's not the best way to think about things. And I'll come to what I believe is right and true and really powerful in a moment. So, for example, when Jesus took a little boy's packed lunch, it was 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Can anyone here tell me how many he fed on that day that's recorded in many of the Gospels? It's known as the feeding of the... Oh, wow, look at that. What a very intelligent church we have here today. Past the 11... 5,000, that's it. Past the 11 plus, straight away. There you go. Top of the class. Marvellous. If only it was as simple as that. Well, you see, Jesus didn't just do a miracle. Somebody saw the little boy open his packed lunch and started to give it to Jesus, and everyone else felt really kind of shamed, and they got out their packed lunches, and actually there were 5,000 packed lunches, and everyone had their fill. You sort of accommodate what you can't understand, and you make it out to be different. And so, for example, when the early Christians said, Jesus has died and he's rose again, and someone said, oh, I just don't get that. What you do, you sit and you think, well, actually, maybe if we dug hard enough, we could find the bones of Jesus. And all the disciples did, you see, they kind of made up the story and they'd like to think that he was okay. Of course he died, but we'll keep his memory alive. And the same too with the ascension. Jesus is there one moment and the next moment he's not. He's in heaven. Well, I can understand that if you want to believe those things, but you see, I just don't really get it. The trouble is you're missing out on something very, very important. And it all hinges for me on whether Jesus is who he said he was and whether he's true or not. Now, I'm going to introduce you to a couple of complicated words. The first word I'm pretty sure you can understand. Now, let me give you the first word, which I think is easy to understand. It's a dilemma. Okay, now a dilemma is when you've got two things and you're not sure which one's right. Do I send my children to bed or not? Okay, it's 8 o'clock, they need to be in bed. Or, no, I rather not because they're going to create a fuss and they want to carry on watching that TV program. Or you've got children a little bit older and you're in a dilemma. Mum and Dad, I want to go out to this party and can I come back at 2 o'clock in the morning, please? And you have a dilemma. Do you just say, well, all right then, dear, off you go and enjoy yourself? Or do you think to yourself, I'm going to try 11 o'clock. I'll give you a tip, that never works. Break even at 1:30. No, no, try 12 o'clock, you better be back by 12 o'clock. It's just a dilemma. And sometimes, actually, you can never win. It's either this or it's that. Let me introduce you to a trilemma. Now, a trilemma is not just, well, I don't know whether to do this or that, and I need to make a decision. A trilemma is, well, you can either do this, or you can do that, or you can do the other. And it's so important to think about the reality of ascension. Because if Jesus did ascend into heaven, and it really happened, if Jesus did rise from dead to life forevermore, if he did feed 5,000 people, if it is really true, then this totally is mind-blowing. Dilemma, trilemma, it more than should impact our lives. But I think most people just sit there and think, well, do you know what? I think I know what they're going on about, but I can't really understand that. So there must be another explanation for it, except that's just not true. Because Jesus said it this way, and you can't give him any other options. One person beautifully expressed it like this. I'm not going to paraphrase him. I'll read from God in the Dock, C.S. Lewis, verbatim. His prose is brilliant. And for me, it kind of hems me into a corner. It forces me to think that this Jesus is God. He rose to heaven. He's the Son of God. He loves me. He wants to be in my life. The whole thing is true. I'm not in a dilemma or a trilemma anymore. I want this. And when I find I'm hemmed into a corner, I'm not trapped. I'm the best, freest, brilliant human being I could ever be. Any other option is choosing the wrong way. Listen to these words. I'm trying here to prevent anyone saying the really foolish thing that people often say about Jesus. I'm ready to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but I don't accept his claim to be God. That is one thing we must not say. A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man Jesus was and is the Son of God, or else he's a madman or something worse. You can't shut him up for a fool. You can't spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let's not come with any patronizing nonsense about him being a great human teacher. He's not left that option open to us, and he never intended to do so. The summary, the trilemma, Jesus Christ is either mad, he's just completely lost it. Fancy kidding a boy out of his packed lunch and forcing everyone else to give their packed lunch away and then claiming it was a miracle. He's either mad or he's bad, he's completely deceived people, or he's God. That's the ultimate trilemma. There is no other option. And so when Christians say it's ascension tide, what Christians believe is this Jesus who left people has gone to heaven so that he can be with everyone all the time, no matter how old or young you are. He lives by faith, by the power of his Spirit in their hearts. Some of you know I love running. And I've got a gammy knee at the moment, and I really miss running. And I sometimes wish the spirit of Mo Farah could just come and live in me, and I could just go and run without the sweat or the pain and the bother, and I could get all those lovely feelings inside that I know runners get. And so maybe I should just pray, Spirit of Mo Farah, please come and just be in my knees, in my legs, and then I can run and run and run. I can feel good all the time. But you know what? I'm not going to do that, because that just doesn't work. But when you pray to Jesus, who is in heaven, and you say, Spirit of Jesus, you weren't there then, you're in heaven now, so that you can be everywhere now. When you pray that the Spirit of Jesus will be in you, he comes. Because he's God. Because he's ascended to his Father's right-hand side in heaven. There's your dilemma. Do I come to church or not? It's a sunny day, I go to the beach. There's your trilemma. Jesus Christ is either mad or he's actually evil to be deceiving so many people, or he is God. I wonder what you would say he is on this day when we remember Ascension Tide. I hope and pray you won't feel pushed into a corner, but you will recognize that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. Open your hearts up. Don't just pray to be a good runner or pass 11 plus or be nice at home. Pray that Jesus would come and be in your heart. That's why he's up there, so he can be in here. Now, the Archbishop of Canterbury and York have had some good ideas, and this is one of their best ones, that we pray for five people during the period from Ascension Tide to Pentecost. It's known in the Christian tradition as a particular way of praying. And he's suggesting we pray for five people, and you tie a knot in this little leather strap and you write their names on there. And I think that's a very good idea. Can I just spin it round? Do remember there are people praying for you. Probably your godparents, probably your parents. And if they've died and gone to be with the Lord, I expect, knowing the challenges of parenthood, they probably would have been praying for you. People are praying for you, that you might open your heart and receive the ascended Christ in. And then you'll know the whole thing's real and true. You won't be in a dilemma or trilemma. So without further ado, I'm going to ask for some volunteers. If you've got one already, maybe just pass them on. There might not be enough for everyone, but we'll see how we can do one per household card and a little leather strap to remember to pray for people. But as you do that, remember people are praying for you. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. The life of Jesus will actually come and be with you. Don't be in a dilemma about that. Don't be forced into a corner. But don't patronize Jesus saying, oh, it's just about church, it's just about a creed. This Jesus is the Son of God who loves you and wants to be present in your heart and life. We've got some music while these things are being handed round, and I'll say a prayer in a moment. Thank you. Lord, please grant us grace to know you in our hearts by faith. We pray that the Spirit of Jesus might fill our hearts and fill our homes. Amen. Well, let's stand together. We sing now, Lord, I come to you. How appropriate is that? He's there for us. May we not receive his invitation in vain. Do please stand as we sing.